We had some interesting experiences like that, but small unit actions, no major things. And the reason was this. They were getting ready for the Normandy invasion, and they had taken away a lot of our air force. They left us with very little air support. They rationed our artillery to just a few rounds a day. So they more or less relegated us to do holding actions with what they left us with. Just one experience perhaps I should mention. One night I was going to be relieved after being in the front line for about 2 or 3 weeks. Usually they tried to get you out in that time. And they told me that a Gurkha unit would replace me. And these are the troops from India, of course. And sure enough, one night in the middle of the night, I had set up headquarters in a farmhouse. And in this farmhouse, we had pretty well fortified it with sandbags because I'll have to back up here a little bit. Just a few nights before, we had brought a machine gun unit up to plug up a hole in the line. And these fellows weren't too good infantrymen. They were kind of relaxed, and they were in a farmhouse. And they had set either one guard at the front door, the rest of them were inside sleeping or doing whatever. And the Germans spotted that and came one night, and they shot that sentry at the front door, put a rocket through the side wall of that farmhouse, came inside, and took everybody prisoner, all of our machine gun units. And so our division commanders, brigade commanders, were very upset about this lax guard duty that was being done in the front line. So they were really putting the pressure on us to wake up there. And so we had sandbagged the front door of our farmhouse, and so that anybody would come in, he would hit two layers, come in fast, they would hit two layers of sandbags. You'd have to do some broken field running to get around them, and in the dark you couldn't see what you were running into. We had men in foxholes, of course, completely around the position. But remember, it's winter time, it's cold and it's wet out there, they get miserable. We'd cut the foxhole tours down to about 1 hour, but I still had men sort of goofing off sometimes to get out of them just to warm up and then get back in them to finish their time. But it was miserable duty. So that night I would go out and check on these men every so often to make sure that everybody was still where he was supposed to be. And it was kind of spooky out there. It was very quiet. You could hear the little odd noises every so often from different parts of the front line. You could hear guns being fired in different other areas and so forth, but very quiet where I was. Finally, I sensed something as I was walking around the farmyard in the dark from one foxhole to another. I sensed somebody behind me, and I spun around quick, couldn't see anything. Went a few more feet and still sensed something behind me. Turned around again, and sure enough, there was a short little character in a British Army uniform with whitest teeth you ever saw, grinning from ear to ear, and jabbering something, and not in English. So I knew that this was the Gurkhas had arrived, but they didn't announce themselves. They were very famous for their ability to patrol, and they loved to patrol and skulk around. So I said, they're welcome to do all the skulking around they want. They'll have plenty of it up here.
What else were they famous for?
Well, they had their little quaint little knives. They always carried the kukri knife, I guess they call it. It was like a boomerang sort of a knife, a sharp angle on it. And they were very good soldiers, though. They really were. They just looked odd. The uniforms didn't quite fit them. They were always much larger than they were. They were very small. They were mountain people, I think from Nepal, where Everest is, up around that area. And anyway, the British Army used them a lot. But I asked this Gurkha soldier where his officer was, and he brought his lieutenant along, and he was a very cheerful fellow, grinning, always smiling. And we went in the farmhouse, and I tried to show him that where we had set a minefield out in front of our position. And I told him where he could get in and out of that minefield without exploding any. And I kept saying, do you understand? And he said, yeah, 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 and smile away, but I guess he didn't understand a word of it. And we turned over the position to him, and we pulled out and started to work our way to the rear. I hadn't gone down the road 500 yards when I heard that some of our mines going off, and I was convinced that here they were already out there doing some patrolling and walking right through the minefield, not knowing what the map was trying to tell them to walk here, don't walk there. And that's the way they cleared a minefield, just by walking through it, I guess. A little while later, when I got to France, I'll go on ahead but refer back to when I got to France later, I picked up an army newspaper and I read where right at that position where we had left, the Indians, one man got the Victoria Cross, which is a Congressional Medal, equivalent of the Congressional Medal of Honor. And what did he get it for? He was a medical orderly, and he got it for bringing back so many wounded from the other side. They told him to put on an attack across that same river that we were trying to get across, and they literally just went over there with their bodies, I guess, and they were really slaughtered. And this medical orderly just was hauling back the wounded and swam that river 5 or 6 times and I think ultimately died from his wounds. But that's the kind of things they did. They got a lot of high decorations for their bravery, but they usually ended up dying from them.